Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Nothing like the last show of the before Christmas, at least for me. I mean, we'll be on next week, and it just won't be me. We got some really good people filling in for me next week, by the way. Alex Andrade is going to be hosting on Monday. Michelle Salzman is going to be hosting on Tuesday. Danny Zimmer is going to be hosting on Wednesday and Friday. And Santa Claus is going to be hosting on Thursday.
Santa?
Did you just say
Santa?
Yeah, I love how I sent out the list yesterday to, you know, all our bosses and you and everybody, and Mary actually put it on the printout of the schedule for the fill-in that Santa's going to be filling in on Thursday. So.
I know, I saw it, and it's taped everywhere, too.
That's funny. Who's the little old drunk guy, the Southern gentleman on your shirt? Just kidding.
Whoa.
But you guys don't play today, though. You play tomorrow, right?
Play tomorrow. But I had to rep today.
You know, okay, fine. All right.
Little drunk guy on your shirt.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. I have weird stuff to share with you today, interestingly. Interesting stuff, but, you know, a little bit weird. Here goes.
I will say that we were just at the DEMA, which is a big dive show in Orlando, with dive charters from our area, and there's a lot of excitement about what's happening in Northwest Florida, diving overall. But the SS United States is going to draw considerable attention, already has, into the market. So I know one of our dive charters, Nahui Dive Charters, they're adding their second boat. They're retrofitting it right now, ready for the new year.
That's Darren Schaefer, the president, director. He's the key guy. My brain is not geared toward remembering necessarily the word, but I'm more geared toward remembering the concept. And frankly, the difference between a CEO and a president and a director and an executive director, I'll tell you, you know, to me is like in my profession as a philosopher, before I was a talk show host, you know, how many hours and years and ink wells are spent differentiating between ethics and morality as words. When I taught ethics, they're the same thing. I don't care. It's the rules for conduct. You know, that's all it is. So, if that's ever why, I can't remember. I think he's the CEO and the president of Visit Pensacola, Darren Schaefer. Anyway, so yeah, the SS United States getting reefed by Okaloosa County that we are going to benefit from because we're still close enough to send dive boats over there this continues to be a huge win because they're spending, I want to say it's $9 or $10 million, and we're spending $1 million on advertising. And yet we get a boat that's going to be essentially equidistant between, I mean, it's a little bit more towards them, but, you know, close enough for us. And it's a huge deal in the dive community. Already got charter boat captains who are saying we're buying extra boats just for this. And, you know, it's supposed to happen, I think they said March, anyway, somewhere in that vicinity. They're basically waiting for, it's got to be the right weather conditions, and then if it's not, they just push it back. And then if it's not, they just push it back by like a month at a time because of the amount of preparation work that it takes to do it.
Do you want to say thank you on the dive situation with the USS United States? That's a huge win. And I know there are several boat captains who are adding a second boat.
Yes.
And I've heard they're already booking out for like March, which apparently is not a dive month. So that's a big win for our economy. So thank you for spearheading that.
Yep. Well, I'm glad it's finally realized.
Yeah. And I imagine there's going to be a lot of people who want to be kind of like the first to dive it, you know, so they're all booking, expecting it to be sunk at a certain point. And if that doesn't happen, well, you know, they'll adapt. Also, interesting conversation about the need for convention space, ongoing conversation in Pensacola. You know, how does it affect us not having a large convention venue? What size convention venue would we need? Is that something that's going to be accommodated in the massive, open-ended, up-in-the-air, to-be-decided convention, you know, Bay Center renovations. This is Jason Nicholson asking, basically, Darren Schaefer, he had talked about the difference between the amount of advertising outreach and promotion that they do to get people to come here and the actual successes. You know, we can claim these, but obviously only a fraction of the attempts made are yeses, right? Just like in any sales endeavor. You know, you put out 1,000 offers and you get 15 responses or 150, but you got a lot of no's, a lot more no's than you get yeses.
Two questions. When you look at the group impact, we have $10 million in bookings and $27 million in leads presented. When you analyze the delta and you look at the regrets and...
So that $27 million is if everybody said yes, that's what we would have had, right? And we actually got was 19, which is actually a pretty good success rate. Okay.
You look at the regrets and denials that you're getting, what would it take in Escambia County for us to capture that additional $17 million delta?
More space.
Meeting space, conference space, banquet space?
Meeting space.
Meeting space.
Yes.
Okay. Which is not a surprise, but...
Most of these...
And what are the
Because we try to stay within this shape that we have, right? We don't keep presenting leads for a piece of business we can't accommodate, but we're very limited in our facilities. So we bring things in, and there can be date conflicts. Some of that's the Pensacola Bay Center conflicts. Some of it is opportunities that could fit into the Hilton Garden Inn or between the Hilton Garden Inn and the Holiday Inn. Sometimes in the past they've worked together. So space is our biggest challenge, and so we have a long list of potential business that we could bring to the area when we have the conference space.
So, you know, the National Convention of Basket Weavers is looking for a place to do their event. And we pitch to them, hey, come to Pensacola and weave your baskets here. It's a beautiful beach or whatever. And then they're like, well, what kind of space do you have? And we're like, we can handle up to 500. And they say, oh, we got 650. We can't do it. Well, we don't pitch them next year because we know the size of their convention. But if we manage to get a space that would handle 650, we can go back to them. That's kind of what they're talking about.
How many attendees are we talking about that need, you know, per event on average?
It ranges.
Let me restate, ask the question a different way. What's our cap on maximum attendees that we can host in Escambia County?
I think 500 people is tight.
Got it. So if we
and he doesn't mean tight like tight, yo. He means tight like we can barely accommodate 500 people.
Got it. Yep. So if there were an aggressive developer out there that wanted to build additional meeting space to cater to this missing business, there's a market for it.
There is. I would recommend we target up to
attendees.
Being able to hold 1,500 people banquet would allow us to capture a lion's share of that business.
Okay. So hint, if anybody wants to build something, since government is working at, well, you know, government base, they're up to 1,500 would be incredibly changing for this community. And if we could do that, we would get a lot of extra business that we basically have to turn down right now. Jen Brer confirmed this. She sits on the council. She's a city councilwoman, but there are two members of city council that sit on the TDC.
Really, I'm speaking to the ability for conferences. I know I never get to do a conference in this town. I always have to travel. And I've been looking a long time to be able to do one here. We even had the Brownsfield conference a few years ago. It's allotted through various locations that have Brownsfields. And it was our turn, and there was no place to host it. I mean, so it is a real situation in this area that we have not been able to do this kind of thing.
I want to get to Brownfield Conference here, and there are too many of us. I mean, which is true. You know, that's just the nature of things. So, and Darren was also saying, you know, we're not trying to pitch 2,000 person, you know, way out of our league. That even if we, you know, even if we had the building, it wouldn't make sense because Pensacola is just not the place for that many people necessarily. So just to kind of give you a picture of where we are and to reiterate the point that convention space is really one of our key limits and finding a way to solve that nut for Visit Pensacola and for the local economy. And, you know, having the right hotel, they talked quite a bit about that, and the Grand Hotel and all of that. And a lot of this are going to, you know, the county commission is going to be working on this in the new year. So fingers crossed, we'll see, maybe. I've lived here long enough to... You can cross your fingers, but don't hold your breath, right? That's where you should always be with Pensacola projects. Like, it doesn't really cost a lot to cross your fingers, but I wouldn't put your state of consciousness on the line for these projects coming through in a timely manner. 518 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, 10 to maybe 40,000 miles. Cars that they all warrant, every car they sell, they warranty included to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they know they're good cars. They only buy good cars. They specifically A, B, C, D, like grade quality cars, A's, only A's, because they know that they're going to sell it to you as if it's new. It's just that it's not brand new. You're going to have one owner before you, maybe two. Cars that come back off corporate leases or, you know, whatever. Like, that's how I got my car. It was a lease, and then it came back to the dealership in Orlando. After 1 year, our Honda Odyssey, they didn't sell in 90 days. They have a very strict 90 days and out policy. And so Frontier went down to an auction and bought our car. And we bought it from them, and everybody was happy. And then they followed up with me 6 months later. Do you like your car? Are you happy? Yeah. I already bought the car. Leave me alone. That was my reaction. Honestly, I didn't say that. I'm only a jerk on the air. But I told Calvin, you know, yeah, we're good, man. Thanks. And then a year later, you know, like, they called us. Anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, I mean, one of the physical keys doesn't work. We're never going to need it, you know, but hey, bring it in. We'll replace it. I thought, I bet you will for $150. So I brought it in, you know, and then he's like, no, it's on us. I'm like, really? Okay. So we brought it in, took about, I don't know, 10 minutes. They cut me a new key, and that was it. And I thought, a year after I bought a car from you, you sought me out to ask me if there was anything wrong with the car. And then at your expense, you replaced one of the, who are you? So, you know, I like promoting them because I like the way they do business. It makes sense. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search. For strong candidates, the right fit awaits. Build your team, build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Hi, this is Andrew McKay, and I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
From all of us to all of you, Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Eat, Papa, eat.
Oh, can I eat? That silly elf song is driving me crazy.
Have
yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
Not gay.
Next year, all our troubles will be out of sight.
Remember when gay used to just mean, you know, happy, frivolous, sort of lighthearted, and, you know. I mean, it still does mean that, but, you know, you'll usually raise an eyebrow if you say that. Oh, you seem awfully gay today. Wait, what did I do?
Whoa, wait a second. Do we need to talk?
There's actually a famous book in philosophy, relatively famous. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote a book called, it's typically translated as The Gay Science. It's the Fröhliche Wissenschaft. It just means happy, joyful thinking about deep things. And, you know, it was always translated gay. I wonder if we still translate it gay. We're the joyful science now instead, not to confuse things, you know. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The owner of TikTok has signed a deal that would create a U.S. version of the popular social media app. The video sharing platform has been under pressure from Congress to create a U.S. version because it's owned by Chinese company ByteDance. Yesterday, the CEO of TikTok announced they've now struck a deal to create a joint venture, which will be majority owned by Americans.
Are they promising that it will still hurt brain development for young children and make all of us stupid?
Yeah, that's definitely on the list.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay, well,
absolutely, yeah.
As long as that's included, whatever else happens, I'm fine.
Well, good. Officials say the man accused of the Brown University mass shooting is also the gunman that killed an MIT professor Monday. Police say that suspect, 48-year-old Claudio Neves Valente, was found dead by suicide Thursday in New Hampshire. Authorities say they had probable cause to charge Valente, who was a Portuguese national, with both of those shootings.
Didn't they go to high school, the same high school or something like that? That's one account that I read indicated that there was a tie-in like that.
I hadn't read that.
Okay.
Possibly,
right.
Yeah.
I guess are we going to now close the border to Portugal, too? They're going to be on the banned travel list because, you know, that's what we do. If somebody from your country does something horrible here, we close off all travel to those people.
Beautiful list with a lot of room at the end.
Not to engage in hasty generalizations or, you know, broad brush stereotypes or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, Portugal is Portugal, right? So,
yeah.
He's Portuguese, right?
Portuguese national. Mm-hmm.
And they're a small country anyway. What can they do about it?
Well, not much.
What else you got?
Jelly Roll has been granted a full pardon for all past crimes in Tennessee. Their governor, Bill Lee, announcing pardons to 33 people on Thursday, and that included country music star Jelly Roll, who was convicted of robbery as a teenager and possession with intent to sell cocaine in 2005. Lee called Jelly Roll's turnaround story remarkable.
Are you a Jelly Roll fan?
He's all right.
John?
Oh, he's better than all right. He's great.
So my wife has a funny view of Jelly Roll. She's hard rock, you know, so she's like raised on KC in St. Louis, so she's hard rock, classic rock.
Gotcha.
You know, she likes TK, okay? That's her kind of music. And every time the Jelly Roll song comes on, TK, she's so mixed because she's like, country artist on TK 101. And then she's like, but I do like this song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
And how many genres does he get played on?
Oh, a lot. Well, and if you've ever looked back at like his early, when he was a rap, you know, rap guy, the transformation between the country star now and how he started in music,
So you got country,
it's pretty crazy.
You got hard rock, rap. I mean, is there a station he wouldn't get played on? Almost?
Well, no, he's everywhere.
Smooth jazz. Yeah. And now, Jelly Roll.
I think he could probably do
probably
it.
Probably could. Yeah.
Probably could.
Put out a different
point.
Album. Why not? 527 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, did you see this? The Chicago Bears might not be the Chicago Bears.
What?
So they're looking to build a stadium.
Correct.
And they've been trying. And there was one in Arlington Heights that they were kind of, there was a project there that I guess they own. And that's what they've been working on for a long time. It's been a long time since I lived in Chicago, so I'm not super up to all the details. But apparently the owner came out yesterday, I think, or the day before, and said they are expanding their search for possible facilities to include Indiana, Northwest Indiana. So they'd still be in the vicinity. You know, I mean, Indiana's only, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on how you get there out of the city. So it's still pretty close, but they could be the Northwest Indiana Bears.
Yeah. Oh, that rolls off the tongue. Bears. That just rolls off the tongue. Yeah,
I mean, it's right there. You can merchandise that, you know. They can become the Bears instead of being the Bears. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. Some people are thinking that this is all like, you know, a gimmick for negotiating or whatever. But maybe, I don't know. I'm not close enough to it to be able to say. Let's see. Oh, what's the weirdest reason that you can get fired from your job? How about being too early too often? Now, what? I know you're all worried for me that I'm going to get fired for being.
Yes. I mean, I really
showing up
am.
At work too often too early. But it's never gonna. If that is the only way you can get fired, I will never get fired. I mean, not even close. John, what time do I come to work?
Oh, about 5:07.
Yeah. What time does the show actually start on the air?
5:08.
There you go. 5:09.
Nine. It depends on
what day.
Depends
on whether David went short with his news like he did today or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not because I'm, you know, lazy. It's I'm working at home. I'm watching TV and cramming in that last little bit of material before we go on the air.
You're asleep.
And don't start with me. Anyway, but so I am, you know, those people out there in the world who are like, man, 10 minutes early is on time. Man, screw you. No, it's not. On time is on time. I love you, but, you know, you're crazy. I don't know. People show up for the wrap at 8:35, and they show up at like 8:10, and I'm like, wow, okay, neat for you. And I love them, but that's not my thing. So a woman in Spain has been fired for repeatedly showing up to work 30 to 40 minutes before she was due in, and having been told multiple times, stop showing up so early. So they say she created like a hostile work environment for refusing to obey their instructions. She wasn't clocking in or getting paid. She just was showing up early, and they said, unacceptable. So Spain is so devoted to not being punctual that, and she appealed, and they upheld the termination. So at 22 years old, if you have a 22-year-old who's showing up early, take the gift.
Praise them. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, send them our way. We'll take them. Oh, man. So, yeah. Among all the things that might run the risk of me getting terminated from this job, being early too often against instruction is not on that list.
Fox News. I'm CJ Papa. Police in Rhode Island say 48-year-old Claudio Neves Valente from Portugal is the man behind two heinous crimes.
Investigators believe the suspect behind Saturday's deadly attack at Brown University is also responsible for killing an MIT professor days later. Police on Thursday said the alleged gunman died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at a storage facility in Salem, New Hampshire.
Fox's Jan Lee Painter. Top U.S. and Russian officials expected to sit down together in Miami, Florida this weekend.
Right now is the moment, based on everything that I'm being told about the situation, is, it is really down to some final delicate negotiations.
U.S. Ambassador Nato Matt Whitaker earlier on Fox and Friends First, and President Trump on the stump tonight in North Carolina. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 55 degrees. We've got clear skies this morning. Our forecast on the way in just a few minutes. Escambia County Commissioners recently formalized a retirement benefit that could increase costs for the county. The DROP program, Deferred Retirement Option, that started in 2014 to help the county retain jail employees after they took over those operations from the sheriff. Employees with large vacation balances were a challenge to manage, so the county approved allowing employees to cash out that vacation time.
Many of them had large leave balances. How are they going to handle that? Let's say the sheriff has a different plan or something. That's what they were trying to solve in 2014.
Okay.
The HR director at that time, they did step one, and that is, let's move forward and change the BCC, the Board of County Commissioners, policy as it pertains to DROP.
Escambia County Comptroller Pam Childers explaining the program and its potential costs yesterday. She says the county never formally documented spending limits in the HR manual, and Childers says there's now more than 100 employees using the program. And she said senior-level employees could cash out with up to $200,000 at the December 11th Board of Commissioners meeting. the policy was made official. A Louisiana middle school teacher was arrested for inappropriately touching a girl during a vacation at Pensacola Beach. 40-year-old Trey King was booked into the Escambia jail on a charge of lewd and lascivious behavior involving a victim between 12 and 16. The alleged crime happened May 27th and 28th on Pensacola Beach. According to an arrest report, King touched the girl multiple times. King was a science teacher at McKinley Middle School in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He was released from jail Tuesday on $10,000 bond. He's due back in Escambia County Court January 9th. A traffic stop in Milton led to a big drug bust on Tuesday. Police say they pulled over 42-year-old Dwayne Robinson for a busted taillight on Glover Lane. When the officer checked his license, it showed a suspended status. Police searched the vehicle and found hydrocodone, marijuana, and methamphetamine totaling 28 grams. Robinson faces several felony charges, including trafficking methamphetamine, possession of marijuana, possession of a controlled substance. Police say the seizure was part of an effort to keep Milton's streets safe. Governor Ron DeSantis not holding back when it comes to the state of college football. Yesterday from Sebring, the governor said the sport has become a total mess. He pointed to how name, image, and likeness deals and the transfer portal are reshaping the game.
This college football is a total mess.
The governor signed Florida's NIL law back in 2020, saying athletes deserved compensation when their jerseys and images were being sold. But now he says players can leverage NIL money or threaten to hit the transfer portal even right before the playoffs. Despite the criticism, the governor said he'd still be rooting for the Miami Hurricanes in their college football playoff matchup against Texas A&M. It's 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 55 and clear skies. And our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. CEO Shou-Ji Chew has announced that TikTok's U.S. operations will be housed in a new joint venture. The entity is named TikTok USDS Joint Venture LLC. As part of the venture, Chew said in the memo that the company has signed agreements with the three managing investors, Oracle, Silver Lake, and MGX. The House of Representatives has approved the SPEED Act, which would reform U.S. permitting law to speed up the build-out of infrastructure key to artificial intelligence. The bill is supported by big tech giants like OpenAI, Micron, and Microsoft. U.S. applications for unemployment benefits fell by 13,000 last week, remaining in the same historically healthy range for the past few years, even as concerns grow about the health of the labor market. The Labor Department reports the number of Americans applying for jobless claims for the week ending December 13th declined to 224,000. Futures are slightly higher. On Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 65. That's your money now.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking? 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts. And 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA. PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Cat Country 98.7 is honored to receive the 2025 Service to America Award for something truly close to our hearts. Because of you, the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon fully funded the Angel Eye program at Ascension Sacred Heart Hospital, helping families stay connected when it matters most. Share in the moment and celebration and watch the Service to America Award special this Sunday at 1 p.m. on WEAR-TV3. Hometown proud. Cat Country 98.7.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us on this Friday. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to our friend Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, who was here in studio yesterday making his Christmas rounds and bringing us donuts. And woohoo, I'll take that. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Well, I'm glad to be here, and I bring gifts.
I know. I love that you brought us donuts. I feel like it's a reverse, you know, instead of us bringing you donuts, you brought us donuts. But anyway, let's start with the big news from yesterday. We had this fire at Jay and Cervantes, and my understanding, please confirm or disconfirm, whatever, is that there may have been also a shot spotter alert before the fire. There was one person found deceased. That's the extent of what I know. What do you know?
Yeah, that's about right. That we did have a shot spotter activation very close to that location. We can't say for sure if it's related or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be an autopsy done on the victim, and then hopefully we'll know more after that. But right now, we just know that there were no utilities attached to that building. And
so it's an abandoned building?
Yes, it's okay. An abandoned body shop.
Okay.
So and there was bedding in there. When I say bedding, there was a bed. So it appears somebody had been living there.
Okay.
And, so we got a lot of work to do on that one.
Okay. So at this point, all we do know is that there was a person found deceased in the fire. Cause of death, whether there was any kind of foul play, what, if at all, connection with the shot spotter, all of those things, we just don't know.
No, we don't.
So okay.
We've got a lot of investigators as well as the state attorney's office, the medical examiner's office, and the state fire marshal are they're all working on this case.
Also yesterday, there was a chase of some kind. Is that right? Or there was, because there were a couple of different things involving cars. I know one with the crash into the community health clinic, but there was there another incident as well?
Yeah, it was a busy day yesterday. Yesterday morning while we were investigating that fire, there was a vehicle that fled and crashed into a pole. Or the occupants fled after that crash.
Okay.
And we were able to track them down using a canine and apprehended them. So we had that and then the incident on 12th Avenue.
The chase, was it, I mean, was it in that same part of town, different part of town?
Yeah,
we don't know.
That was up on North 9th Avenue near Cokesbury Methodist Church.
Oh, so quite a ways away, yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, from where the other one took place. Okay. And then the third thing was the vehicle that crashed, and I believe your text to all of us in the news was, it is now inside the building.
Yeah, it went through the glass in front of the building and went inside. Fortunately, there was no injuries. And it looks like right now that the driver may have had a medical episode.
Okay.
And but there were no injuries to that driver related to the crash.
Well, thank goodness. And nobody inside the building was hurt.
No.
So, yeah, this seems to be – I was wonder whether these things happened in the past and we just didn't hear them or whether they are new, but the sort of medical event when people are driving, which of course is horrifying to imagine for the person, but also horrifying for the rest of us who are, you know, driving across a little yellow line from them at 90 miles an hour closure. And you think, well, I hope that nobody has a heart attack coming at me today. You know, like, is that more common than it used to be, or is it just we're more aware, or is it just a figment of my imagination?
I don't know if it's more common. I can tell you that several officers and myself were in Sonny's eating lunch one day and heard this incredible crash, and a vehicle drove through the doors of Sonny's on 9th Avenue. So yeah, we got to experience that one firsthand. Again, nobody was injured.
Yeah.
It was an older lady who just hit the gas instead of the brake.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of businesses now, you'll see if they have parking spots near the front door, they're putting the bollards up.
Mm-hmm.
To prevent things like that from happening.
Yeah, and that's another one, the confusion over the pedals thing that sometimes, you know, people who are older have that happen, and which is simultaneously understandable and also horrifying, you know, to imagine. So, and certainly scary for them. So nobody was hurt in that one. That's very good news. Also, you guys had put out some pictures and a video from, was it a week ago? Was it more than a week ago? This battery assault that took place inside the parking garage downtown. What happened here?
Yeah, we're still working on that. There was a gentleman walking back to his truck.
He's an older guy in the 70s,
he's in
right?
the 70s. Okay. He was a young man.
And so, how close are you to retirement?
Yeah, there you go.
Range for words like older and younger starts to shift around you as you progress towards one of the ends, right?
That's exactly right. So this young man was walking to his car in his 70s, and he saw a person leaning on it. He didn't know if he was trying to get in it. Maybe a buddy was in it, and he was the lookout. He just didn't know.
Yeah.
He approached the man, and this suspect began to get aggressive with him, pushed him several times, and one push he fell down and hit his head on the sidewalk. Mm. About that time, a friend of his, also a young man in his 70s, 78, was walking up and saw what was going on. He got on the phone to call 911, the suspect left at that point, was walking away. This person who was on the phone with our dispatchers was following him so officers could see where he was.
Sure.
The individual turned around and struck him in the head several times with his closed fist, causing some pretty good injuries. So none of the injuries on either one were life-threatening, but obviously we are very concerned about this situation. We are working on it. We haven't hit any brick walls with it. Hopefully there'll be an arrest soon, but this sort of thing just can't be tolerated. There was a huge age difference between the two, and we're just glad that they weren't hurt any worse than they were.
Where was this again?
It was in the parking garage, the county parking garage where the back door to the tag office is.
Oh, okay.
And it happened there. It was the same location where the infamous Christmas tree was stolen a couple of days earlier from Winterfest.
Okay, all right. The parade went off?
We had a few incidents.
Oh.
A fight here or there.
Okay.
I think there was one arrest made, but other than that, no injuries, nobody over the barricade problems. We didn't have that, so it went well.
The motorcycle cops didn't run into each other?
No, not, it's always a good thing.
I was watching the ECSO and PPD do their circles at the Palafox and Garden, and I was watching, and there was one moment where I thought I saw one of the bikes wiggle in a way that did not seem to be the correct way, and I thought, but, you know, all's good. It's all's good.
Those guys are very good at what they do.
Yeah, no,
they are. But
were you ever a bike cop?
No, never had a desire to do that. Police work is dangerous enough on four wheels.
Very good.
But the guys that do it, they love it.
Oh yeah,
you would be it'd be a tough job to be able to take, you know, try to take that bike away from them. They love it, and it's a great thing for law enforcement.
Well, and even when motorcycles are dangerous, things go wrong. Officer Budden, you know, got hit a couple of years ago, and is he back on a motorcycle?
He's back.
Yeah, they love it, right? So the mayor had mentioned yesterday that the graffiti bridge warning system, at least the southern side of it, was likely, John, correct me if I'm wrong, he said Q1, right? He said first quarter of the new year they're going to start installing that with lasers and and other devices. That's my saying it that way, not him saying it that way. But from a PPD perspective, this is all good, right?
Yeah, we would like to see and as fun as some people have with it, with these trucks going underneath it, we would like to see that stop. That causes a lot of damage. It clogs up the roadway. And if we can finally get that problem solved, it's going to be a great day.
You know what we need. And I honestly, we should have this with or without the early warning system. I can't believe I never thought about this before. 23 days, strike free. We should have a safety billboard. How many days since the last graffiti bridge strike? And
well, somebody would have to keep up with that. That's a full-time job.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have the folks who run the graffiti bridge web, you know, Facebook page. I mean, they're perfectly capable. I think that's something we ought to have that we do not have at this point. Just one last thing before we get to your cop myth, or did you know? We've had a lot of conversation about the new law going in with the license plate obscuring, and it always seemed pretty straightforward to me that the only thing that would make sense is as long as the decal and the letters are visible, nothing else really matters. Is that that's the interpretation, right?
Yeah,
that was just put out the other day.
Yeah, once we talked about it the first time, I got more calls than I have in a long time.
Sorry.
On people opposing this, and it's understandable. So the state came out on the 12th with some clarification, and it's clarification that we were very glad to get and mm-hmm. push out as quickly as we could. And so now if the frame that you put on there covers up the bottom portion where it says Escambia, Santa Rosa, Sunshine
In God
State,
We Trust, whatever.
Yeah, whatever it says down there, if that's covered up, okay, that's fine. even the top, if it goes down a little bit on the state of Florida, as long as the officer can see what state that vehicle is from, you're okay. But what cannot be obscured in any way is the decal and the license plate number itself. The main violators of that are the ones who put tint over the tag.
Okay. The real issue is people who are trying to make it so their plate can't be read by a camera or something
right.
like that.
Even clear tint, you can't do that because that can create a glare.
Okay.
So don't put anything over the tag and make sure that we can see the Florida at the top. It can be a little bit covered, but as long as we can tell which state it's from, and Florida officers have no problem with that. But,
right.
If you come in from out of state and that tag, the state is covered up or partially covered, it could be an issue. So as long as we can see the decal and the tag number, you're in good shape.
So it can say Roll Tide or WDE or, you know, Go Noles, as long as it also says, you know, 438 AHJ, and you can see the little yellow sticker that has the, you know, the date on it, basically.
Exactly. That's what we need.
Hey, I'm just, this is because my brain works this way. The state is considering getting rid of the stickers. Mm-hmm. And going to a purely database system where you don't have to have a physical sticker that you update on your car. But John and I were talking about this. The old idea was that people would steal those registration stickers off of cars. They'd peel them off of cars. And so one deterrent was to, you know, razor blade them so that they're very hard to take or whatever. Does that happen very often?
It does. Well, it happens.
Okay.
The tags are...
Not the plate, but the registration.
The decal.
Thank
you.
It happens
often enough that we have a what's called a code for it, where we
really
track those thefts. Yeah, so that does happen.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. We always like to end with a myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
I do, and before I begin, Die Hard series, those are Christmas movies for anybody that had any
Of course
doubt.
They are. It's set at Christmas. It's about a homecoming. They play Christmas music. There's a Christmas party. Of course it's a Christmas movie.
It is, and from this movie, and this is going to come, this is for radio geeks, and I at one time was known as one of those, and I'm talking about handheld two-way radios. They were used heavily in the first Die Hard. Those were Kenwood TH-21BT radios, and for the guys that study this stuff, they are very, very hard to find, and if you do find one, they're very expensive. The myth, or what was so wrong with that, was you could just talk to anybody. You could pick up that radio and talk to LA Dispatch. You could talk to John McClane was able to talk to the officers and the bad guys at the same time. To do that, you would have to have what's a citizen's band, the old citizen's band type radio, because they referred to Channel 9 a bunch. That can't happen. These are FM radios with the UHF, VHF band. That was not possible. That's something that I guess the folks that made the movie didn't think about or ignored, but you can't talk to everybody.
It doesn't. It's just not like an open channel. It's only for the ones that they're specifically connected to or whatever, so... Okay, so when John McClane takes one off the body of a terrorist and then talks to Hans Gruber, that could happen.
That could happen.
But just, you know, talking to Roy outside, who backed his car off the ledge into the Circle K.
Right, and talking to LA Dispatch.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's okay. Where, that wasn't real.
Way to show us that sometimes movies are not 100% realistic, Mike. way to ruin Christmas, Mr. Grinchy. I mean...
The two-way radio guys that love this stuff, they're with me on this, and everybody else is probably like, what?
All right, fair enough.
Circuits that cannot be cut are cut automatically in response to a terrorist incident. You ask for miracles, dear. I give you the FBI.
Or the Kenwood radio.
How do you do that?
As the case may be. Mike, thanks as always for the time. Merry Christmas, sir. Have a great new year. We'll see you in a little bit.
Merry Christmas.
Most definitely. 551 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you need to do a project, a home remodel repair project, Pensacola Hardware, they've got your stuff. They've got all your stuff. They've also got your advice. And I say this with all sincerity. A lot of times you go to a store, a hardware store, let's say, that's not Pensacola Hardware. And you want to know where something is. Do you ask? maybe don't even do that. Like, I can read the names. If you've got a problem to solve, do you go and find the expert? Or do you know? Good Lord. I'll probably know more than whoever's working there. Well, that's why you go to Pensacola Hardware, because they will be the experts. They will have advice. They will be able to, they will know what you're talking about. You won't have to explain it to them. Oh, sure, we solved that problem this way. Here, let me show you. And then if you have any questions, they can answer those questions. Like, it's really expert-based customer service for hardware needs. But also, and I say this because, you know, we're 6 days to Christmas, they are a fantastic place to buy gifts. the front of the store is all grills and knives and, you know, Yeti merchandise and cast iron skillets and pots and all kinds of like SEC merch. And it's all a great place to buy your housewares gifts for Christmas. So if you need a home improvement need of any kind, or, you know, you need to buy Christmas gifts, or, you know, gifts for yourself, treat yourself, go to Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend. And she said, oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours. And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is James Johnson with Northstone Baptist Church wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Emily Lynn
and Peyton Cacherney
at Lazy Boy wishing you a happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Julie Black with FFS Roofing and Construction wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
And now, as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay.
At the feats of strength. 5:55. John, do you have any grievances you want to air before I go on vacation for a week? You know, no?
Oh, no, we'll deal with ours outside.
By the way, some really great guest hosts filling in for me next week. Monday's going to be Alex Andrade. Tuesday's going to be Michelle Salzman. Danny Zimmern's going to be here Wednesday and then Friday. And Santa will be hosting on Thursday, meaning we're not going to be here.
Santa, I know him.
All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Officials say the man accused of the Brown University mass shooting is also the gunman that killed an MIT professor on Monday. Police say that suspect, 48-year-old Claudio Neves Valente, was found dead of suicide in New Hampshire in a storage unit. Authorities say they had probable cause to charge the Portuguese national for both of those shootings. President Trump is now suspending the nation's green card lottery after it was used by that suspect, Claudio Neves Valente. Homeland Security said Thursday that the program has been put on pause. And the college football playoffs are underway as of this weekend with four first-round games. The action starts today as Oklahoma hosts Alabama. And The Sooners beat Crimson Tide last month, 23-21.
Well, the way I understand the rules for the playoff this year is even if Alabama loses to Oklahoma, they get put back in the tournament at the next round anyway.
Whoa, 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 whoa. No, 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 no. No.
Sounds legit.
There's David. Okay.
But based on the CFP's attitude towards Alabama, you wouldn't be that surprised if they tried it. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you see the story?
This is
my favorite health story, maybe of the year. This is fantastic news. This is so my theory about science and health stories, number one, is health and science stories are always kind of reversing themselves and, you know, telling you that the thing they've been telling you for years is terrible is now suddenly fantastic, okay? Which, you know, credit to the world of science for being willing to admit they're wrong. But the problem is that every time some new pronouncement comes out, we treat it like it's gospel, not realizing that, you know, the way science works, though, is sometimes the analysis changes. So I have always kind of my joke about health science has always been my throwaway line has always been that, eat and do whatever you want to do. But in 20 years, what we're going to find out is that cholesterol cures cancer and bran will be the silent killer. Because that's sort of how this stuff goes. It's going to be the opposite of whatever you believe today. Well, here's the story like that. The story is that a study that says over 25 years, they've been studying people, and they have discovered that people who eat higher fat cheese and cream regularly have a significantly lower risk of developing dementia. So the best way to defend your brain, well, a way to defend your brain against dementia is to eat high fat cheese and cream in your diet. You know, the kind of things they say you shouldn't eat because of, you know, cholesterol or whatever. So they say that people who consume 50 grams per day or more of high fat cheese, about a third of a cup, have a lower overall risk of dementia, vascular dementia, and a form of cognitive decline caused by impaired blood flow to the brain. According to this 25-year Swedish study of nearly 28,000 people published in Neurology, medical journal of the American Academy of Neurology, if you eat at least 20 grams of high-fat cream, that's about a tablespoon and a half a day, same thing. And they find that if you eat low-fat cheese, low-fat cream, or butter, or milk, that does nothing for you. No benefit in terms of dementia. So you got to go in for the extra fatty stuff.
Thank you, Andrew.
Right?
Thank you.
So let's all go eat our blue cheese and drink our cream and, you know, have fantastic functioning brains. Also, it'll make you happy and that'll help you live
local
longer.
News every hour.